Let's get in to what we were talking about yesterday, gentlemen. And that is, what do we do with a player that we don't know is getting the ball? Right? We always, the first two rounds of a draft, baseball, basketball, football, whatever, you are trying to hit on safety in a way. You bank on upside later, but you want to make sure you get your points. You project it out like, listen, these are the points. I know this guy's going to touch the ball X amount of times. I know he's going to get X amount of touchdowns. I can rely on that. It's safe, right? So you pick on your upside a little bit later on. Well, I'm always somebody that I love the bell cow running back because I know he's getting the ball. I love the big-time wide receiver because I know he's getting the ball. When it comes to a guy like Tyreek Hill, and there was a ton of conversation about him last year, it was about Tyreek Hill and Ted Ginn. Those guys had monstrous games where they could put up a ton of points in a short amount of time, but there was never reliability. A couple of years ago, there's a name that you brought up yesterday, Scott. A couple of years ago, this was the talk with C.J. Spiller. A couple of years ago, it was the talk with Jamaal Charles. They're not touching the ball more than 13 times a game. But when they do, they have the ability to hit it big.
I don't know if I would put Charles in that group.
Well, there was a time that Charles was in that group. I mean, I know Jake's in
the
night.
I don't even remember it.
That's fine.
Yeah. Charles who?
Jamaal Charles.
Scott, you know how many 80, 70-yard touchdowns Jamaal Charles has?
I know, but I'm saying you knew he was always the number one running back
True.
There.
Okay.
He was always getting the ball.
I understand your point. But
Spiller, you had Fred Jackson. You know,
there is a time, and Jake Seeley certainly will admit to this as well, that, listen, he didn't need the ball 30 times a game. It wasn't a bell cow like that. That's all I'm trying to say.
He made the most of every carry.
Yes.
Yes, but he always knew he was the number one
guy. And that's
fine.
You don't have to include him in this. That's fine.
Yeah.
The point being, I have always found myself to be a little bit off on these players that I couldn't count on. And not because they're not awesome, right?
Yeah.
But because it scared the crap out of me of them having a donut. And I said this all of last football season. I never knew what to do with Tyreek Hill. I didn't know how much to bid on Tyreek Hill. I didn't know when to start Tyreek Hill. And week in and week out, he would score. And I'd be like, there he is again. And I couldn't do anything about it. I feel that way about Tyreek Hill. I feel that way about Ted Ginn. And I feel that this way about a guy like Tavon Austin's the same thing. And a couple other guys here that we'll talk about here on the show. Let me go to you, Matt Modica, here first when it comes to Tyreek Hill.
I mean, look, he's so dynamic. He's so exciting. He's just an excellent player. But you pointed out the things. I'd rather have Ted Ginn much later because I think he is in that. He's in the perfect offense for him. His main problem is his hands and catching the damn ball. Cooks is gone. He fills in. I mean, he pretty much is going to take that role over. They got Snead. They got Thomas. You know, the tight end who I'm kind of like, on. I don't know about him. I think he's got to be better than he was last year. But I think Ted Ginn, especially in a best ball format, is definitely a guy I'm going to own a lot of
shares. I know in your NFFC draft, Tyreek Hill went in the fourth round, right?
Yeah, he was like the eighth pick in the fourth round.
Scotty, I know someone that wants to guarantee themselves points. Where are you on taking Tyreek Hill?
I'm not too in on it. And when I talk about gadget players, I also don't consider Ginn a gadget player because he's just boom or bust to me. I look back at guys like in the Percy Harvin mold. Anytime I look at a receiver who's going to take handoffs and stuff like that, to me, that's a gadget player. You know, to me, it's a guy who can do dual kinds of things, but never does one particular thing well enough for me in a fantasy perspective. And those guys scare me. You look at Tyreek Hill's game log. One week he's getting a 68-yard reverse and taken for a touchdown, and the next week he's catching three catches for 21 yards. So there's certain guys that I don't want on my team. And Corey's always making a point. Tyler Lockett, you are not going to burn me again because Tyler Lockett is more valuable as a football player than he is as a fantasy player. Lockett will take a reverse and maybe he might score a touchdown. And he's a good slot receiver for Seattle. But you cannot trust him. It goes back to Percy Harvin. This is why I'm never in on Tavon Austin. Because I feel like he's an underachieving gadget player. I think maybe Tyreek Hill is an overachieving gadget player. But still, I really don't want any of these part of these guys. For where Hill goes in the fourth round, no. Not consistent. And Tavon Austin, I don't want on my team, period.
All right, so you can't ignore these players. You can't do that. It's just a bad strategy to ignore these players altogether. Now, you look at the run that he went on last season, Hill. Like, he caught 65 passes for 620 yards. But he had 6 receiving touchdowns, 3 rushing touchdowns, and 3 touchdowns in the return game. Week 12, he hit that stretch where he just went absolutely crazy. But you look at this. 1 carry for 68 yards. That's the touchdown. The next week, 6 carries for 95 yards. One of those carries was a 70-yard touchdown. He had a game against Oakland. 6 catches for 66 yards, a 36-yard touchdown. Then he had a game where he scored a touchdown receiving, rushing, and returning a kick. So he's a dynamic player when he gets his hands on the ball. So you can't just ignore him altogether. What you have to do, in my opinion, is you have to, it's roster construction when you put a player like Tyreek Hill on your team. So if you want to say, okay, I'm going to have some exposure to Tyreek Hill this year, the way I look at it right now, the best bet to do it is the way, especially where his ADP is at right now, zero RB. Zero RB, make him your flex wide receiver. This way, you got 3 stud wide receivers, you have Hill in the flex, and then you go get your running backs a little bit later on, your PPR style running backs, or maybe you hit on a Joe Williams or a Kareem Hunt or something like that. I think that's the best way to attack Tyreek Hill in 2017 drafts.
I mean, Tyreek Hill had 6 weeks of double-digit points in a PPR format. I mean, he's got 21.5, 20.1, 32.5, 23.8. I mean, these are really nice weeks that he's been able to put up, but you just don't know. It's the, I agree with Corey in that aspect. If you're going to go the zero RB, I have to think he's going to be more involved this season. They're going to scheme up more plays. But the other problem is like in the playoff game, even if he's running down the field wide open, is Alex Smith going to throw him the damn ball?
Yeah, and it's not just the wide receivers, too. It's like, I consider certain running backs like gadget players when you go back to Reggie Bush starting that trend. I think guys like Gio Bernard, Darren Sproles, stuff like that, you can't trust them. And I think maybe Danny Woodhead is kind of the mold of a gadget player, but he's too consistent. I think maybe he's an exception.
Well, I don't think Danny Woodhead's a gadget player. I think these guys are
gadget players to me is running backs or guys who you don't trust are going to get the ball consistently as runners. And I was saying that Danny Woodhead, you think, might fit that mold. I was making that point, but he doesn't.
Well, I don't know how you don't put Ted Ginn in there then, because he's literally the same version.
He don't carry the football out the backfield.
He's just boomer bust wide receiver. That's what he is.
I understand that, but Tyreek Hill, I understand, is the gadget, like, because he can run the ball. But when you talk about boomer bust or like maybe get some carries, maybe get some touches, I put them in the same mold in the could give you a big game or couldn't. But that's not the point, right? We'll get to Ted Ginn in a second. Yeah. With Tyreek Hill, I think Corey's point was spot on. We can't ignore this guy for what he did from week 12 on, because it was, you know, number one, unheard of. Number two, extremely valuable from a fantasy football perspective. I also believe that if he gets to a point, and we say this about every player in every draft, you get to the point where you have no choice. You have to pull the trigger here. Hey, once again, I totally agree with you, Corey, in that the way to probably do it is you get 3 stud wide receivers, 3 guys that are just completely safe. You put them in a flex, and then you get these pass-catching running backs, and that probably is the way to do it. And you could take him where his ADP is going around the 4th, 5th round.
Now, I'm looking at the draft board from the NFFC that Matt Medica sent over to us this morning. Now, the team that has Tyreek Hill on it has Tyreek Hill as a wide receiver 3. This is a terrible team, by the way. You know what I'm saying?
It's awful.
They took Mike Evans, good, Amari Cooper, mm-hmm, and Tyreek Hill are their wide receivers 1, 2, and 3. Cooper's a little too inconsistent to be on the same team with Tyreek Hill. Yeah. His running back 1 on this team is Spencer Ware. He has 2 Kansas City Chiefs on the team. Why would you go to Kansas City for your fantasy production?
Hold on, let me ask you this, Corey.
My God!
Let me ask you this. I'm looking at Team 8 here. Right? I'm looking at Team 8, okay? They draft Mike Evans in the first round.
Love it.
Okay? In the second round, coming back the other way, obviously, let's say they take Dez Bryant over Amari Cooper.
Okay? I like that better.
It's fine. So now you have Evans and Bryant, 2 legit wide receiver 1s as your 1-2, okay? Stick with your strategy. Now, does this have the LT rule in this?
Yes, it reversed. Mm-hmm.
All right, so this reversed. So that means in the third round, he can draft either
Demaryius Thomas was
Demaryius
there.
Thomas, Sammy Watkins,
Julian Edelman.
Lamar Miller as well. Even.
Oh, God.
Okay, hold on. Forget Julian Edelman. Let's just say Demaryius Thomas or Sammy Watkins for these purposes, because that's what you were talking about.
Yeah.
If he drafts Demaryius Thomas with Evans and Dez, and then picks Hill as a 4th.
That's perfect.
There you go.